We don't want our children to hurt, but we also want them to do more than simply get through their difficult times. We want them to face their troubles and grow from them. When Amanda retreated to the left, hiding from all of the painful emotions that were running through her right brain, she denied an important part of herself that she needed to acknowledge. Denial of our emotions isn't the only danger we face when we rely too heavily on our left brain. We can also become too literal, leaving us without a sense of perspective, where we miss the meaning that comes from putting things in context, a specialty of the right brain. This is part of what causes your 8-year-old to become defensive and angry sometimes when you innocently joke around with her. Remember that the right brain is in charge of reading nonverbal cues. So, especially if she's tired or moody, she might focus only on your words and miss your playful tone of voice and the wink that went with it. I recently witnessed a funny example of what can happen when the literal left brain takes over too much. When my youngest son turned 1, I ordered his cake from a local grocery store. I requested a cupcake cake, which is a group of cupcakes frosted to look like one big cake. When I placed the order, I asked the decorator to write my son's name, JP, on the cupcakes. Unfortunately, when I picked up the cake before the party, I immediately noticed a problem that demonstrates what can happen when a person becomes too left-brain literal. There was nothing written on the individual cupcakes, but on the cake itself were the words JP on the cupcakes. Exactly what I'd asked for, but not exactly what I'd intended. The goal then is to help our kids learn to use both sides of the brain together, to integrate the left and right hemispheres. Remember the river of well-being discussed earlier, with chaos as one bank and rigidity as the other? We defined mental health as remaining in the harmonious flow between these two extremes. By helping our kids connect left and right, we give them a better chance of avoiding the banks of chaos and rigidity and of living in the flexible current of mental health and happiness. Integrating the left brain with the right helps to keep children from floating too close to one bank or the other. When the raw emotions in their right brain are not combined with the logic of the left, they will be like Katie, floating too close to the bank of chaos. That means we need to help them bring in the left brain to get some perspective and handle their emotions in a positive way. Likewise, if they're denying their emotions and retreating to the left, as Amanda was doing, they're hugging the bank of rigidity. In that case, we need to help them bring in more of the right brain so they can be open to new input and experiences. So how do we promote horizontal integration in our child's brain? Here are 2 strategies you can use right away when integration opportunities arise in your family. By using these techniques, you'll be taking immediate steps toward integrating the left and right hemispheres of your child's brain. What you can do. Helping your child work from both sides of the brain. Whole brain strategy number 1. Connect and redirect. Surfing emotional waves. One night, my 7-year-old son reappeared in the living room shortly after going to bed, explaining that he couldn't sleep. He was clearly upset and explained, "I'm mad that you never leave me a note in the middle of the night." Surprised at this unusual outburst, I replied, "I didn't know you wanted me to." His response was to unleash a whole litany of rapid-fire complaints. "You never do anything nice for me, and I'm mad because my birthday isn't for 10 more months, and I hate homework." Logical? No. Familiar? Yes. All parents experience times when their children say things and get upset about issues that don't seem to make sense. An encounter like this can be frustrating, especially when you expect your child to be old enough to act rationally and hold a logical conversation. All of a sudden, though, he becomes upset about something ridiculous, and it seems that absolutely no amount of reasoning on your part will help. Based on our knowledge of the two sides of the brain, we know that my son was experiencing big waves of right brain emotions without much left brain logical balance. At a moment like this, one of the least effective things I could do would be to jump right in and defend myself. Of course I do nice things for you. Or to argue with my son about his faulty logic. There's nothing I can do about making your birthday come sooner. As for the homework, that's just something you've got to do. This type of left-brain logical response would hit an unreceptive right-brain brick wall and create a gulf between us. After all, his logical left brain was nowhere to be found at that moment. So had I responded with my left, my son would have felt like I didn't understand him or care about his feelings. He was in a right brain, non-rational, emotional flood, and a left brain response would have been a lose-lose approach. Even though it was practically automatic and very tempting to ask him, "What are you talking about?" or to tell him to go back to bed immediately, I stopped myself. Instead, I used the connect and redirect technique. I pulled him close, rubbed his back, and with a nurturing tone of voice said, "Sometimes it's just really hard, isn't it? I would never forget about you. You are always in my mind, and I always want you to know how special you are to me." I held him while he explained that he sometimes feels that his younger brother gets more of my attention and that homework takes too much of his free time. As he spoke, I could feel him relax and soften. He felt heard and cared for. Then I briefly addressed the specific issues he had brought up since he was now more receptive to problem solving and planning, and we agreed to talk more in the morning. In a moment like this, parents wonder whether their child is really in need or just trying to stall bedtime. Whole brain parenting doesn't mean letting yourself be manipulated or reinforcing bad behavior. On the contrary, by understanding how your child's brain works, you can create cooperation much more quickly and often with far less drama. In this case, because I understood what was happening in my son's brain, I saw that the most effective response was to connect with his right brain. I listened to him and comforted him using my own right brain, and in less than 5 minutes, he was back in bed. If, on the other hand, I had played the heavy and come down hard on him for getting out of bed, using left-brain logic and the letter of the law, we would have both become increasingly upset, and it would have been a lot more than 5 minutes before he calmed down enough to sleep. More important, my response was more caring and nurturing. Even though my son's issues seemed silly and perhaps illogical to me, he genuinely felt that these things weren't fair and that he had legitimate complaints. By connecting with him, right brain to right brain, I was able to communicate that I was tuned in to how he was feeling. Even if he was stalling, this right brain response was the most effective approach, since it let me not only meet his need for connection, but also redirect him to bed more quickly. Instead of fighting against the huge waves of his emotional flood, I surfed them by responding to his right brain. This story points out an important insight. When a child is upset, logic often won't work until we have responded to the right brain's emotional needs. We call this emotional connection attunement, which is how we connect deeply with another person and allow them to feel felt. When a parent and child are tuned into each other, they experience a sense of joining together. My approach with my son is one that we call the connect and redirect method, and it begins with helping our kids feel felt before we try to solve problems or address the situation logically. Here's how it works.
Step 1. Connect with the right. In our society, we're trained to work things out using our words and our logic. But when your 4-year-old is absolutely furious because he can't walk on the ceiling like Spider-Man, as Tina's son once was, that's probably not the best time to give him an introductory lesson in the laws of physics. Or when your 11-year-old is feeling hurt because it seems that his sister is receiving preferential treatment, as my son felt on occasion, the appropriate response isn't to get out a scorecard showing that you reprimand each of your children in equal measure. Instead, we can use these opportunities to realize that at these moments, logic is not our primary vehicle for bringing some sort of sanity to the conversation. Seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? It's also crucial to keep in mind that no matter how nonsensical and frustrating our child's feelings may seem to us, they are real and important to our child. It's vital that we treat them as such in our response. During Tina's conversation with her son, she appealed to his right brain by acknowledging his feelings. She also used nonverbal signals like physical touch, empathetic facial expressions, a nurturing tone of voice, and non-judgmental listening. In other words, she used her right brain to connect and communicate with his right brain. This right-to-right attunement helped bring his brain into balance, or into a more integrated state. Then she could begin to appeal to her son's left brain and address the specific issues he had raised. In other words, then it was time for step 2, which helps to integrate the left and the right. Step 2. Redirect with the left. After responding with the right, Tina could then redirect with the left. She could redirect him by logically explaining how hard she works to be fair, by promising to leave a note while he slept, and by strategizing with him about his next birthday and about how to make homework more fun. They did some of this that night, but most of it came the following day. Once she had connected with him right brain to right brain, it was much easier to connect left to left and deal with the issues in a rational manner. By first connecting with his right brain, she could then redirect with the left brain through logical explanation and planning, which required that his left hemisphere join the conversation. This approach allowed him to use both sides of his brain in an integrated, coordinated way. We're not saying that connect and redirect will always do the trick. After all, there are times when a child is simply past the point of no return, and the emotional waves just need to crash until the storm passes. Or the child may simply need to eat or get some sleep. Like Tina, you might decide to wait until your child is in a more integrated state of mind to talk logically with him about his feelings and behaviors. We're also not recommending permissiveness or letting your boundaries slide simply because a child isn't thinking logically. Rules about respect and behavior aren't thrown out the window simply because a child's left hemisphere is disengaged. For example, whatever behavior is inappropriate in your family, being disrespectful, hurting someone, throwing things, should remain off limits even in moments of high emotion. You may need to stop destructive behavior and remove your child from the situation before you begin to connect and redirect. But with the whole brain approach, we understand that it's generally a good idea to discuss misbehavior and its consequences after the child has calmed down, since moments of emotional flooding are not the best times for lessons to be learned. A child can be much more receptive once the left brain is working again, and discipline can therefore be much more effective. It's as if you are a lifeguard who swims out, puts your arms around your child, and helps him to shore before telling him not to swim out so far next time. The key here is that when your child is drowning in a right brain emotional flood, you'll do yourself and your child a big favor if you connect before you redirect. This approach can be a life preserver that helps keep your child's head above water and keeps you from being pulled under along with him.
Whole brain strategy number 2. Name it.